Live from the pits of Malifaux City, it's Friday Night Throwdown.
And welcome to Friday Night Throwdown. It is July 28th. I am your host, as always, Doug. And with me, I have three other combatants ready to talk about some Malifaux. With me first is Victoria.
Hey.
Kyle.
Hello.
And for the first time ever, Daniel, say hello.
Wait, but I've been on the show before. You did that last time.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Such a joker, this Daniel character.
But you did it the time before that, too. But that one was by accident.
Anyways, we don't have time to talk about this. We've got 1 hour on the timer, and this time I've got it right in front of me. Yes, sir. Clicking that start button. And our first topic is, I'm feeling extremely lazy. I've got an enforcer brawl coming up that I have to host, and I want to make some kooky and custom rules for each round to make it much more interesting for my players. So, the last time I did it, I did something very similar. I called it Five Nights at Smedley's, in reference to a popular video game series, where the first round was a smaller board. It was a 2-foot by 2-foot board, and everyone got to smack each other a lot more often than your standard 3x3, and then we had a henchman round, where every enforcer became a henchman, and they were allowed 2 upgrade slots, and a single soulstone as a cache to use as they please. After that came the, what would you call it, condition round?
Yeah.
In this round, poison and fire burning damage would actually give you the kill if you killed an opponent with those conditions. And then lastly, we cut out one of the rounds. It's supposed to be 5 rounds, and it ended up being 4. Last rounds was a sort of King of the Hill oddball style round, where a player was designated the king, or Dr. Smedley for the fluff, and other players got extra points for hurting them or killing them. So, since I have 4 players here, and it's probably going to be another 4-player round, I figure we could all come up with the rules for our own rounds, and it'll make it super interesting for the players. And then I don't have to do it by myself. So, I am first up on the list, and I'm going to go and reuse one of the rounds from last time, which is the henchman round. So, again, every enforcer will get 2 upgrades instead of 1, and their own soulstone to use for, you know, what the stuff you use for soulstones. What are those things, Kyle? Didn't you do an episode on this?
I don't know what they're called. I don't know anything about this game.
Because Kyle definitely doesn't have his own much better podcast.
Yeah, no, this is Kyle Baudet.
That's the correct pronunciation.
Yes, he was going through my trash, so we just brought him in because we needed a 4th.
Not sure if that was serious.
Okay, so I brought your name up. Kyle, what are your thoughts? What is something you want to play?
Well, what I would do is the always fun round, where you would do a draft, and it would probably inevitably play out as everybody bringing a terrible model and trying to get the least terrible of the models. So you'll have things like Hans out there, and then you could have, like, a guild sergeant. You know, some quality enforcer brawl models.
Yeah, or probably an Oxfordian.
The Ice Golem.
Papa Loco.
The Oxfordian mage worked really well for you.
Because he had both the Blood Ward and the Nemesis Ward?
And yeah. Kill Switch.
And Kill Switch and Temporary Shielding.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. That's why he worked for me. So you're looking at, like, Karina as well. Excuse me.
Chiaki.
What are some other terrible enforcers out there? I mean, just terrible for killing each other.
Nina wouldn't probably be very good.
No, I guess any sort of sniper. Are there any other enforcer snipers?
I think that's it.
Just there's the gremlin one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pierre, I think, is the...
Pierre Ravage?
Or no, is it Pierre? No, I don't remember. Rami. No, Rami's the sniper. Pierre's the
explosives.
Yes.
But things like that. Or Kojo, because everybody says Kojo's garbage. Although I think he would actually be one of the better of these options.
Yeah, and in the terrible round of Enforcer Brawl Koju is king. I have a feeling.
Daniel.
What's up? You got anything else?
Go ahead.
So for me, I'd probably just keep it really simple. I'd use one of the special pieces of terrain from the core book. Just, you know, make it a bar, and you know, throw. The only way to score points is by throwing chairs at each other.
Funny you should say that, because we do have a bar table now.
Jimmy, core rulebook, you say?
Yeah.
I'm either thinking of the core rulebook or shifting loyalties. One of them has the rules for, like, bar tables.
So you're just throwing chairs at each other.
It's like real life.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. Because people are constantly throwing chairs at each other in real life.
What do you guys do on Saturday? That's what I do.
Yeah, that's how you play Malifaux, right? You flip bad, you throw your chair.
Yeah.
See, we're married and we have a child, so we stay at home on Saturday.
Ah, guys, I have to bring that up. We throw it to the child, not the chairs.
She likes it. It's fine.
She giggles. It's great. We'd have to add in some other stuff in there because just singular chairs is going... Well, I guess, how does damage work in that situation?
The chairs have damage tracks associated with them.
Ooh.
Huh.
Yeah. There's a whole section on it that I don't know. Don't tell anyone, though.
Okay. Well, yep. I have to look that up. These are the rules that we're going to have to use. Not that it's bad. It sounds like a lot of fun.
A bar brawl.
We'd have to have some other brawling mechanisms in there as well, including drinking, obviously.
Yeah, there's definitely a section for drinking as well for one of the special pieces of terrain.
Jeez.
Wow, okay.
Awesome.
Does the whiskey golem get any advantages in this?
I think one of the things gives you poison, if I recall correctly, so maybe?
The other question is, if Banasuva is being used, can you wield four chairs at once?
Jeez.
I don't know, man. Gotta ask the TO on that one.
Oh, jeez. Too bad you can't... That's kind of sad. You can't feel him. No, I want to. He's by himself in all the sweaty glory. Well, I made mine sweaty. Hey, it was good off topic. Moving on to Victoria. Victoria, what rules do you want to see? What round do you want to see in Enforcer Brawl?
I'm also going to steal a round from Smedley. I want another claustrophobia round.
Claustrophobia? Mm-hmm. The 2-foot by 2-foot board?
Mm-hmm.
That round took forever. And that's
it did, but it was fun.
It was the reason why we went from 5 rounds to down to 4, is because turns out when every single action ends up being in an opposed duel because you don't have to move, the game takes a lot longer than what you're expecting.
It was fun, just pure beating each other up the whole time.
That no thinking, just biting and stabbing.
So,
and...
how did deployment work there? Because I know you have to be a certain distance from other models.
Starting off, I don't think there's a distance requirement, and then when you deploy, it's just table sides. So what basically we did is we removed the standard deployment, Sing Sitch is in, and then used that inner square, and then you could still deploy within the close deployment zones.
Okay.
Anyways, we can definitely fine-tune it. So, you know what? We went pretty quick through this. Is there any, like, other ideas you guys might have? I might keep these and hold on to them and use them later.
A more involved one you could do, or if you have the campaign upgrade pack, is you could do a minion round, but minions could have, like, 3 upgrades to make them, like, enforcer-like.
three upgrades?
So you'd have some crazy minions doing some weird stuff.
So a Horcat Pride with positive to attack flips, armor 1, and I mean that's all I really need, man.
A relic hammer, always a relic hammer. Everyone gets a relic hammer there. I want to do something where everyone gets dumb luck and a version of the kill switch upgrade on them. So people are just blowing up and blowing themselves up all over the place. Heck, we'll double it up and put it in the 2x2 board, so just everything is exploding.
Just make everyone get a death contract.
Death contract is...
You need two cards to win.
Yeah, but... There's not blowing up.
It is.
But everyone's still dying.
Okay, good point. Everyone is still dying. The points would be so crazy on that.
Who has the least negative?
Okay. I think we've... any last minute suggestions? Nope. Okay. Move on to topic number two. Bragging time, I guess. Your shoot the moon moment in gaming, or at least one of the more recent ones you've had. Every once in a while, you'll just get this... really dire situation you're in where things look extremely bleak and you manage to pull it out of your butt because of some really good flips or some good luck. Or just something that just genuinely went really well and you weren't expecting it. I want to hear some stories from you guys when you've been playing games. And starting this topic off is Daniel.
Alright, so I'll make this... A known secret. I have no idea what to do against the Vix. So, last tournament I was in, I had to play against the Vix.
Aww.
And I was like, well, I'll take... Because, you know, it's my close friend, and I was either expecting, like, Hamlin or the Vix. So I was like, alright, so I'll just take Misaki, and I'll just let whatever happen. So, or I'm sorry, I'll take Mayfang, and I'll just let whatever happen. And, turns out he put Lazarus and the Vic of Blood next to a wall. And I take Tremors every game. So, yeah, you know, gotta turn one, kill Vic of Blood. Or, I'm sorry, turn two, kill Vic of Blood, put Lazarus at, like, 3 wounds.
You fool.
Felt pretty good.
How many attacks did you get off?
8?
All of them? Because Mayfang is ridiculous?
I mean, yeah. I'm just like, yeah, look at the card. The trigger. It's built in. That's fair, right?
Excuse me. Well, yeah, it's fair. People seem to think she's not that great of a master, so I nothing wrong with getting 8 attacks off.
The thing is, this is kind of off topic, but you know, the Arcanists have really shifted to either play Sand Deep if you don't know what you're doing, or pick someone who's going to be best at their job. Mm-hmm. So Mayfang's really good at killing things, so when or countering Rezzers or other Arcanists. So when I take her, she's doing her job and she's doing it very well.
I don't know. I mean, if you ask the top end of the meta, they're just like, play Sand Deep, period.
Play Sand Deep.
I mean, I don't know, man. I've beat Hengel a few times, and he likes to think he's good.
Bring at least 3.
Love you, man.
Oof.
It's a possum.
But yeah,
we have a possum in our backyard.
It went off.
Stop everything.
Sorry.
Oh my god.
I saw a movement, so I thought it was Molly. But
hey, let the possum live. This is a little known fact. Possums eat ticks, and I hate ticks.
We left it alone. It was outside. We let it go about its business. I just saw a little bit of white, so I thought maybe it was Molly. But it wasn't. It was a possum.
Molly being another stray cat we sort of adopted. We have a problem.
I have a problem.
A little known fact, Nelly's not the biggest fan of Mayfang either. Just a little hint there, Daniel.
Is it because negative to cast action?
Yes. When she's burning all of her soul stones to get straight flips on stuff, it's frustrating.
I mean, Mage is just really good against a lot of different matchups that people really, I mean. Double a possible triple negative to all attack flips really hurts people. So
I just take. Oh, geez, no! Bring the Student of Conflict, get yourself a 4 activation, 4 AP Mayfang, and just quadruple Vent Steam.
I think there was a whole episode on how you don't really want more than a double negative.
What? Why? Why would you? But the, okay, we're not letting anyone else speak. Maybe we'll come back to this topic. Victoria, you next.
Oh, I don't really have anything for like the Malifaux game proper, because I don't play that many games. But we did run part of Stitch in Time for Through the Breach, and I was playing Choco. And our Chavis was
being
a
stupid.
Great idiot. And he managed to get a robot guard thing very angry with us. And just for kicks, I was like, well, can I seduce the robot? And I believe I flipped a red joker on that, so Choco seduced a robot for Stitch in Time.
This was
which ended up being very funny.
I mean, they have souls, you know.
Yeah, it's souls in the form of stones in them. I mean, if a rotten bell can lure anything in this game towards it, then a lady who is very good at seduction can seduce a robot guard with a grenade launcher.
I still don't expect it to work, though.
You flip the red joker, that's basically an automatic yes for just about anything. So you basically save the entire crew from being very short-lived to going all the way through the third module, and then we couldn't do the fourth, sadly. But that's a different story.
I mean, Chavis still, at every opportunity, tried to get us killed, but...
still yeah. Alive somehow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Kyle! Let's just shoot the moment.
The most recent one, I have a lot of them, but then I forgot all of them. But one I had against, it was a levy crew. I was playing McCabe, and things started to go a little bit south. And I had two models in the last turn, and I needed to get both claim jump and extraction in order to basically just tie the game, I think, at this point. So I had Sun Quang as one of my models, and I dropped a ski marker and then walked him in a purposeful position so he had line of sight to most of the board. And then he proceeded to repeatedly push and drop markers all across the board because my opponent and my other model kept hitting things and dealing damage. And every time he sees something take damage, he can push towards it, drop a marker if you reveal a card. And I pushed him basically halfway across the board, dropping markers left and right to get him to the extraction marker and have claim jump lined up. Unfortunately, my opponent had like 10 more models than me, so he was able to deny the claim jump because I couldn't get enough markers spread out. But I was close. And it surprised him that I was able to do that. And he's like, wait, what?
Well, that doesn't seem like that hard of a thing to possibly replicate. You'd probably pull it off again.
Yeah.
Not trying to belittle your moment. I was just like, yeah, this could definitely happen. It's just great to see the old guy sort of fart out markers as he scoots across the board.
Exactly.
Okay.
You get a ski marker. And you get a ski marker.
It's got a whole bunch of random knickknacks stored inside those robes of his.
Mm-hmm.
Just shake them and just he jingles. Okay. My most recent shoot the moon moment was on last tournament where I had the gummy first round, and then thank goodness Dave showed up to give me a bit of a break. But first round, I just went with Ironsides' base box with Johan and I think Willy. I think that might have just been everyone. And I take Mouse every once in a while, despite a lot of people saying he's complete garbage. And I understand why people say that he's complete garbage, but I took him anyways, because he's kind of fun. 8-inch pushes catch people by surprise. Healing sometimes catches people by surprise. And so whenever I run Mouse, I always run him alongside Johan, because Johan is stupidly slow. and Malice, I think, synergizes well with Johan. And so I got this combination off that I always get off in pieces, but not all at once. In his activation, Malice moved just outside of McMorning's threat range. Used a zero to heal Ironsides for two or three, then rope-lashed Johan towards him, putting McMorning within Johan's threat range. The rope-lash did a single point of damage to Johan, thus allowing him to use Ironsides' hand-picked men. And then he accomplished into Johan, who burned imbued energies and discarded a card to get four attacks off with double positives to the attack value and a positive to the damage. And I believe I hit McMorning every single one of those attacks. He didn't die for some reason. I think I went through every single last soulstone the guy had. But I never got all of those things to line up at once. Yay. Super exciting.
I feel sympathy for neither side.
You're a monster.
I'm just absolutely terrible. I mean, a relic hammer is nothing to sneeze at. Okay. Anything else in particular you can maybe think of, Daniel?
Sure. So empty hand against a Misaki. Oh, no soulstone. No soulstones.
Oh no.
I'm sorry. One soulstone. Sandeep hasn't activated yet. And opponent goes, cheats in like a 13 of crows, flips a moderate, and at this point I'm like, Sandeep's done his job. He can die. But I flip a card on a whim, and in the most like nonchalant way, you know, I flip a severe so Sandeep doesn't die, and my opponent just kind of goes on tilt there, because he's like, how could he not care about his master dying? Like, that's a really important model, especially Sandeep. So yeah, just the nonchalance of it was made me really happy.
Nah, whatever. Oh, he's still alive. Look at that. That can tilt a person.
That man read Joker's like Brio.
Brio and his hand of cards. So we have this player called Brio. His name is Brio, not called Brio. And he
is he the second coming of Raider?
He's worse.
He's worse. Oh my.
Yeah, he won't just top deck a lot of severes. He'll have all severes in his hand. Like he'll have a hand of 13s and a red Joker.
Jesus.
And you're like, okay, he's used all of them. He has to have that last card in his hand has to be a low one. So no, he's got two red Jokers in his deck, I guess.
See, the understanding I have, I've not had this experience with him, but he just is like, I mean, I guess I can hit. I'll do this, and then he just drops a red Joker. Like, okay. Jeez.
He was a monster in the last Enforcer Brawl. That's when every round he had just an amazing hand. But Killswitch doesn't care what your hand is. Trololo. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing, everybody. We'll go ahead and move on to our next topic, number 3. And this was submitted to us by Kyle here. Kyle wants to know, what story do you most want to read about in the Malifaux universe? And since Kyle suggested it, we're going to have Kyle go first.
Well, those of you that are familiar with me, I've actually said this before on one of my own shows, but I would love to hear the Jackdaw story. Like, who Jackdaw was before he was randomly thrown on a tree and hanged, and then kind of like what happened at that point and kind of the whole story of like beginning to end for Jackdaw. Is that something that I feel like could give us a lot of information that maybe Weir doesn't want to give away quite yet, but at the same time, it'd also be interesting to learn about the character because he's one of those characters. If you read the segments about him, he's like, he floats around and terrorizes things. Done.
I got some spoilers for you, man.
Well, they don't go into severe spoilerage, but you can experience Jackdaw in the Stitch in Time.
Gotcha.
It's we'll not say anything else, Daniel. But hey, check
until out after the show.
Yeah, we'll let you know after the show. But yeah, good. Definitely try out Through the Breach, especially now that the book's coming out, even though it's been delayed for a whole week, which is not that bad. And now that it's delayed for a week, then you definitely have no reason not to get it and get a free alternative sculpt, Madame Sabelle. Just saying. Anyways. So Kai wants to hear more about Jackdaw, which sounds great. Doug is next. I think I'm not going to go with the obvious one that I want answered. I just sort of want to see a day in the life of the Neverborn. Someone from the Neverborn when they're not, you know, murdering people. Just what they do on an average day. Because most of what we get from the Neverborn is them, you know, raiding human settlements and killing people and machinations and all this other stuff. Like, what do they do for fun? What do they do when they're bored? Do they eat? Do they have some sort of agriculture going on? Do they just feed off of souls? What's going on with them? I'm genuinely curious. I wanna humanize them a little bit instead of them just being the big scary monster faction. I mean, they've humanized a couple of them, but just your average Joe doppelganger. Anyways, Daniel.
I would like to hear more about the Powder Wars. Feel like it's a very important topic that we know next to nothing about other than they happened and the guild came out on top. Yeah.
I'm honestly scratching something out of my table.
But yeah, so yeah. You know, we know essentially nothing. We know like a few people definitely fought in them that are in Malifaux. But we don't really know what they did or what was involved. And I think it would be a nice, like, fluff thing to kind of grow the other side a little bit. Like, hey, you know, this is what happened during the last war. Yada, yada, yada.
Well, I'm looking something up. That genuinely does make me curious. I sort of always thought of it as the global Napoleonic Wars, but without Napoleon. Well, maybe there was some sort of Malifaux equivalent of Napoleon, but that's around the appropriate time. And they really didn't have magic, so it was just mostly people shooting the crap out of each other with guns and stuff, you know, that old thing. Definitely want some more specifics on how the guild came to power. They sort of tell us, like, oh, I mean, they just profited off the wars really well. What are you showing me? That is an axe gun. Okay. Victoria is showing me a picture of an axe gun. It's a gun.
I feel like the Powder Wars are that classic, get a bunch of guns, get a bunch of soul stones, ? Profit. The guild.
The people that profited were the guild, yeah. That just seems like it would have dropped the global population by a staggering amount. Well, Weir needs to make a novel. That sounds like a great setting for a novel, right? Right? So we just need to do that. Victoria.
You know what I want to know about?
What? Seamus?
The captain.
Captain. Thank you. Thank you, Victoria. That was the one I didn't mention because I have a bit of a problem.
You fangirled out a little too hard.
Yeah,
on Ironside's earlier.
Just a bit.
And
so the captain, Ironside's henchman sort of, has absolutely no fluff written about him whatsoever. The only things I've seen is the little blurb in Crossroads saying that no one knows what his backstory is, and then there was a possible option in the Divergent Paths event where he sort of goes on a date with the trickster lady. He just seems really cool and a fan of his. Yes, sure. Also, he has a relic hammer, which means he has to have some sort of cool story about him because they just don't hand those things out to everyone, right?
Right. Like, you didn't just find it.
I've taken over your top, your little speech there. Why do you want to learn more about the captain?
Pretty much every reason you said.
Well, crap, so, I've ruined this now. Which means we have to go back through and Victoria has to come up with something that she specifically wants to know about. Kyle, what else do you want to learn about Malifaux?
I would love to hear a story of Titania fighting the tyrants. Perhaps maybe her reminiscing about it or something, or just jumping back and straight up talking about it, like how those fights went down.
Hammers were probably involved.
Lots of hammers.
We just find out she has an affinity for hammers, and that's why they're relic hammers instead of relic swords or something like that.
I thought someone else made the relic hammers.
It's possible. Obviously, I don't have a perfect grasp on the fluff, but
I don't know if it ever said who actually made them.
I haven't seen an implication towards it being Titania. I mean, you know, if it was her, you're like, sure. But I haven't seen an implication about that. But I definitely would be interested.
Well, the obvious association we have is that she's the one to sort of put them down. And we know that the relic hammers were specifically made to combat the tyrants in some way. We just haven't really established that connection yet. What's up?
Nothing.
What are you laughing at?
I'm definitely not cruising Tumblr posts while
Well, Victoria's out of the podcast.
She's done.
She's done. No more.
You can't fire me. I'm your wife.
She's got a point, dude.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, I'll put Tumblr away.
So, okay. Story I want to read most about in Malifaux. I want to read a story where the Ten Thunders don't have the freaking upper hand.
Yes.
It seems like every time it's like, oh man, they planned this all along, and oh, this is going exactly how they wanted it to, and oh, they actually knew about this betrayal, and blah, blah. I hate that.
Maybe it's kind of like playing against me as a Ten Thunder player, isn't it, Doug?
Meh. I don't like Asami. I'll say that.
Fair
but,
enough.
But yeah, I mean, I think it just sort of bugged me for the Duel of Fate event. Like, oh, this was all Yan Lode's doing, and he's the reason that these people are actually fighting, and oh, aren't the Ten Thunder so clever? I don't like it. I want someone to get a good one on them. And they'll be like, oh, what's this? Someone has outsmarted us for once? Aha! And it's a gremlin! Yes. I want.
All right. You had some good thoughts there, and then you kind of took the jump off the deep end.
We find out. This is the last story in Broken Promises, where the Ten Thunders are disarray, and someone's gotten the upper hand on it. Who could it be? And in walks Lenny. Is like, yes. It was me the entire time.
It was.
Who's a good pick?
Well, it's like the alternate cover where Lenny is in every picture, as we were talking about earlier.
He's got fingers in all the pies.
Wait, I thought that was the normal cover.
No, that is. That's the correct cover. It's Lenny. Yeah. Seven Lennies.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Okay, hey, Daniel, is there anything else you want to hear about? The Malifaux universe?
Sure. Give us more Kara's stories. She's kind of bland.
She's angry. We know that much.
She's always angry. It's like the Hulk, man.
Oh, jeez. Take the.
She's so mad because she doesn't have Instinctual. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of. Well, not even Instinctual. I don't think it would be terribly broken if she could take the same zero action twice. She needs something. Slap some wings on the Seamus avatar. Maybe put like a painted t-shirt on it, and that'll be your Karis.
You know he comes with like a lady wrapped around his legs, right?
No, I'm talking about the avatar where he's hulked out.
Oh, yeah, that one. Never mind.
I'm losing my goddamn mind.
Speaking of losing your mind, hey, Victoria, what do you want to read more about in the Malifaux universe?
Part of me wants to say a lady wrapped around Karis's legs now.
Right?
We could probably figure that out. Yeah.
Go internet, write fan fiction. Wait, what? I didn't say that.
Who says I don't do that?
Okay.
I know.
That's just our headcanon.
It could be a thing. You never know. Just giving you a suggestion, because I'm pretty sure it was your idea in the first place.
The Seamus Molly living in a house and having ridiculous adventures sitcom thing?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'd read that. More comedy.
Where they're just, you know, always at each other's throats, but you know, they really love each other, and just open up a closet and a whole bunch of bells just fall out. they're getting in the peanut butter! What's up? Gone somewhere?
I am getting some aspirin, is what I'm doing.
I'm sorry. I guess we could take a... We'll take a pauser.
Take an aspirin real pause. Real
short break. I can just...
Alright, everybody get your aspirin.
Everyone get an aspirin.
Everybody has to take as many aspirin as I'm going to take.
Okay.
So,
that's a dangerous game.
I hate this drinking game.
Are you... Kyle, are you going to Gen Con?
Unfortunately, I cannot. I would go normally, but I can't make it this year.
Oh, no.
Blame the state fair.
Did you come down with the poor like we did?
No. It's okay. The state fair.
Fucking...
Oh, okay.
Because I work in TV, and state fair is you don't get off, period.
Oh, yeah. I understand that. That sucks. Yeah. I'd go if we could afford it. That'd be fun.
But yeah, normally I would go otherwise, just to hang out. And plus, I lived in Indiana most of my life, so when I go back there, I usually visit people and like hang out with people I haven't seen for a year or two.
And that's like the most popular minis. Well, one of the gaming events, and you're the closest thing Malifaux has to a celebrity, so.
Nah, dude, that's,
Wow, they're so popular.
Someone on a weird place, man.
Okay. Alright, so the answer was 4 aspirin.
4 aspirin, okay.
So 4 shots, okay, I've got it.
Oh, I could do that. Yeah, I didn't know we were playing that game.
4 shots. Well, that sounds like fun and all, but I just hit the record button again, so we gotta wrap this up. We're getting close. We're halfway there.
Did you pause for the aspirin break?
Yes,
I did.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, reason we pause is so that, because Victoria has to helm this. Well, no, she has to go first at the very least. What is your worst habit when you play Malifaux?
I get frustrated and then I cry.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a bad habit.
Yeah. Because I cry when I get frustrated. So
awkward silence for everyone. Daniel, what's your worst habit when playing? Hopefully it's something kooky, because I'm struggling to keep this thing together.
I don't know, man. Maybe it's the fact that for about a year I placed 4th every single tournament I went to.
I don't know if that's a habit so much as...
Well, it's a habit, but is it your worst habit?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It is his worst habit because it's always a 4-player tournament.
Oh, okay. Throwing some shade. I see.
It was too easy. You know it was too easy. Also, I'm pretty sure you can kick the crap out of me in Malifaux, so.
You don't have to be an asshole.
But it's so much fun.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, we just went there, so.
So 4th place, just for like a year?
Yeah. It got really frustrating. I mean, as I was trying to imply at, you know, just never being able to play at the quality that I felt like I should be playing at. And then it got better. And then Sandeep came out, and yeah.
Just
he's been waiting ever since.
Coasted into that podium.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't think there's a relationship there, but... No, but, yeah. That's about it. Malifaux is still fun. Sometimes I ask people repeatedly what their model's wounds are at, but I feel like that's more of a... I don't really feel like that's necessarily a negative habit as much as it is like slightly annoying.
No, that's not really a negative habit. And you know, it's better to know and make sure you know instead of screwing up, because then you get really frustrated with yourself, and that tends to show in your play as well.
Yeah, well, and it's just, it's not considerate, like when you're just needing to you know, constantly like look at the opponent's cards, or like you're constantly, I feel like it's more considerate to ask to look at it or ask them what their thing is instead of constantly asking them for their card.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. I often, when someone asks what a model does, I'll hand them the card anyways. So that I'm as and I try to explain as many quirks as I possibly can, because it really sucks when you get an aha moment against you on something that you already asked about, and it just didn't click that they could do that thing.
Yeah, I would also say especially if something seems like pretty far out there, it's like, really? Is that something you can do? I would ask to see the card, because we actually had somebody else, not me, but somebody else I know played in our last tournament, and he had a game that was like that. He was like, oh man, this is really good. And then he told me what it was going on. I'm like, dude, that's not how that works. And he's like, what? That's what he told me. I'm like, no, that's not how that works. And he's like, oh, well, no wonder why that was so hard.
Ouch. Well, one doubt, ask it to you.
Or just, like I said, if he would have looked at the card, he could have read it and be like, oh, no, that's not how that works. It works like this.
Hmm. I've misinterpreted cards a lot, too.
That's fair, yeah.
So, we'll go with me. I got two worst habits that I can think of. First one is, just about every game, I will stone for cards on turn one. Doesn't really matter what's going on. I feel the need to have the best possible hand starting turn two. So I'll immediately start with that with stoning for cards turn one, and then I'll more than often stone for cards on turn two as well. Which, you know, it works out sometimes, and sometimes it works out too well, and I'm discarding like an 8 and a 9, and then people freak out when they see you're discarding that. But I also end up almost always playing with a full cache, so it could be worse, but I do sometimes miss that last soul stone when I really want to keep someone alive or need a trigger. My other bad habit is that I'll often deploy in the formation I want the models to end up in at the end of turn one. And the problem with that is quite often the model in the front of the pack is not the model I want to activate first. But then I have to, because they're in the way of everyone else. So, and then I got to do this little stupid dance with everyone else. And I ended up having to still move that model way earlier than I expect. So, those are my dumb habits. Kyle, you're perfect. You probably don't make any mistakes, right?
Oh, God, no. No, my biggest habit, and anybody that knows me knows I do it all the time when things are not going my way. When, like, RNG, or as like we like to call it, RNGesus doesn't go my way. I start getting really frustrated and I get a little bit whiny. And RNGesus always screws me over. But generally I start complaining. I'm like, oh, like, of course you would flip triple severe on triple negatives and stupid things like that. I start getting a little bitter and annoyed. It doesn't necessarily affect my gameplay. I just kind of naturally do it. I think in a way I play fine even when I'm a little whiny. It's just when it continually goes bad, 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 eventually it may start messing with me. But so it may be a little annoying for my opponents if things are going badly. And I apologize to all my opponents when I do it, as I'm like, it's not you, it's just it's me. It's me. And RNGesus and my relationship with him.
You made sure to pray first, right? That's really important.
You're supposed to pray?
You're supposed to baptize your deck.
I sacrificed cows for it.
Also, you need to do your, that's good. Burrito and Mountain
Right
Dew
track.
Communion.
Jeez. No, Kyle, that's Old Testament.
Oh, things have changed?
Yeah, this is slightly less bloody version of that.
Yeah, you take Yasunori every game now. That's the way to fix it.
I already done that. That's already taken care of.
I didn't my dad made Yasunori grumble. Yeah, no, I get salty too. I don't think very many people can hold themselves to a complete composure when things just seem to be crapping all over you. But I'll also do a mass apology to anyone that I've gotten upset towards. And when I notice it, I usually try to apologize at the end of the game regardless as well.
I'll accept your apology, Doug.
Sorry.
Since we're all saying sorry, I apologize for everybody who has had to deal with me crying in the middle of a game. Mostly you and Raider.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you remember.
I'm not going to forgive you, Raider.
I have no idea what's going on.
Don't fall it's asleep, okay. Raider. Don't ever fall asleep.
It's not like he listens to this podcast.
No, he doesn't. It's still funny, though.
So one day he's going to just like, whatever, I'll listen to a random episode from Doug. How bad can it be?
And he happens to pick this one.
July 28th, 2017? That sounds like a great day. Let's do that one.
Anyhow.
Okay. I think we can go to the next topic. A little bit fluffier. We're sort of staring them a little bit. This also comes from Kyle, but we're not going to make him go first on this one. Say Weird came out with a new Allegiance for the other side when the game comes out. What is your idea for a new Allegiance, new army, new faction? And sort of what is their shtick, I'm guessing, is also some information that'd be good to hear. Starting with Daniel.
Okay. I've been backing the other side, but I haven't been really following it too well. I think a cool new allegiance would probably be some remnant of the council. I think that would be really cool. Or was it called the council? The old guild. The people who originally went to Malifaux.
Oh yeah, the group of mages that opened up the first opening and sort of ruled over Malifaux as a council.
Yeah. I think that would be pretty cool to see them in some aspect, because I believe the guild was not on the best terms with, and that's why we have the guild today.
Okay. Would they be an Earthside organization, or be like somehow still existing in Malifaux, and then come across?
Definitely Earthside. More fluffy that way. They've been biding their time, or the remnants have been biding their time since the guild started to take over, and now that the world's at war again, you know, they're just like, all right, this time for sure, guys.
Oh, so you're kind of wanting to feel the Illuminati, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really what the old council was, right?
I can see the similarities.
Stonemasons.
No, Victoria, those are completely ridiculous. We're talking about the Illuminati here.
Yeah, you know, Tony Stark,
Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Captain America on and off. I want to say Reed Richards. Yeah, Reed Richards.
Yeah, Reed Richards is definitely Illuminati. But anyways.
I bought that comic book. Yeah, anyways. And Charles Xavier. Until he died.
Don't hit the table.
I'm sorry for hitting the table. Kyle, what new allegiance would you like to see for the other side?
Well, there's the obvious ones, and I won't go into that one too much because I have better ones. There's, of course, Three Kingdoms, which I think will probably be in there eventually in some way, shape, or form. But after giving it some serious thought, I was thinking probably Street Sharks again.
Okay.
Bye, Daniel.
Daniel?
He's going out to buy some Street Sharks so I can use them on the other side. They're all Titans. I mean, come on, they're big enough.
Just entirely made up of Titans.
Exactly.
The entire army is Titans.
The entire army.
That's all you need.
You get Vin Pacific Diesel Rim. That? Ooh, Pacific Rim.
Vin Diesel.
You see that commercial?
No, I have not.
You did a commercial for Street Sharks in the 90s, and it's about as 90s as you can get. Look it's, it up.
So 90s.
I'm going to date myself, but, I don't really have never consumed media from the 90s other than, like, children's cartoons.
You'll still be able to. You'll know. You'll just know. It's a feeling deep in your gut.
Oh, no. Okay.
People knew about the 90s before the 90s even happened.
Why does this feel so 90s? It's 1979.
It's 1979.
Don't you mean 1890s? No. 1990s.
I'm seeing into the future right now.
President plays a saxophone.
He's got to get back.
Back to the past, Samurai Jack. And, Victoria, New Allegiance, other side.
Russians, they control the weather.
What?
They also have bear cavalry.
Yes! Oh my god, yes! Bear cavalry.
So now we're playing... Because we've already got giant mechs, so you're telling me we're playing Scythe now.
Smash up. Maybe. not necessarily Scythe. Heck yes, bear cavalry.
Stop it.
Like, I was kind of sort of on board. I would like a horde mode version of the humans to combat the numbers from the gibbering hordes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Russians.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
I like that's where your mind goes. It's like horde humans, Russians.
Yeah, right? I mean,
I mean,
isn't that a stereotype at this point?
Yes.
I feel like the Three Kingdoms could do a better job at that, but, you know, whatever floats your boat, man.
Well, this is closer to World War One and Two,
which was than all it is Russia
to modern day China, is what I'm assuming you're mentioning. I'm going to say something even more offensive. Possibly. I'm not exactly sure how offensive it is.
Was Russians offensive?
No, not really. Or just the fact that Russians used bodies as sort of a resource for just flinging them at the enemy until they ran out of bullets or the, you know, chum clogged up the barrels. Russian chum.
But yeah, I do want them to have some sort of weather control.
So, like, Raspy wasn't, like, an exception or some sort of...
Yep.
Everyone in Russia.
Everyone in Russia is an ice mage. That's why you don't invade Russia in the winter.
Yes, ice mages.
Because ice mages.
What do you think we were talking about? I think we've... they're not saying anything. Kyle Daniel is like, oh, what the fuck?
I'm just enjoying myself, man.
You can have your ice mages. I will have my bear cavalry, and we'll all be happy.
Yeah, yeah, they're also ice mages. The bears okay. too.
The bears are also bears. Ice mages.
Okay,
they've got the wizard hats and everything.
If they're mages, can you have their titan be like the bears top jump on top of each other and form like a super bear?
A bear Voltron? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, of course. Bear Voltron.
So like. Is there going to be... So, what you're telling me is that the Slate Ridge Mauler could actually be good. It just has to be in a different game.
Yes.
Yes, and you need multiples of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I have no problems with that.
It only has a movement of 4. And in the heart of this Bear Voltron, the core, the brain Bear Voltron, is just Zangief from Street Fighter. Like, just straight up steal the IP.
Is he just spinning in circles, clotheslining people?
Yeah, that's the only attack the Bear Voltron has is a double lariat.
Okay.
So I've got to follow that up. and I'm not going to do a very good job of it. really, this just sort of came to mind. I don't want to say gremlins. Sort of your 40k orcs in the other side, I feel. We could do with that. And here comes the offensive part. I want to see gypsies as an allegiance. Everyone's offended.
No. Well, maybe.
It's more of a not ramshackle group, but they talk about how magic was always a thing. And that is actually something a lot of people associate with gypsies. Like fortune telling and all that stuff. So I kind of got in my head that if magic was a powerful enough thing that they could be autonomous and just this sort of roving nation, and no one could really stop them. And I kind of went off of that. And that their stuff, since they're, you know, mobile, it wouldn't necessarily be... it would be, like, half scavenged and other things like that. Am I digging a bigger hole here?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, like, I think I like it. It kind of fits in thematically to the idea I had as well.
I shouldn't have started with orcs and I should have said basically the outcast version of the other side. That makes a little more sense. They don't really answer to anyone, but they're a big enough force that they can bring, you know, enough power to bear to be a major player in this setting.
Hmm.
Oh, that was
the or just merge the two. Do orcs and gypsies. That's one faction.
That's a lawsuit. That's a lawsuit. Okay, anyway, send your hate mail to just me. Daniel and Kyle had nothing to do with this. And we'll actually receive some emails for once.
Amazing.
Awesome. Any other suggestions before we move to the next... topic.
On a serious note, I think it'd be cool to see like an Egyptian themed force, something that has like sphinxes and like you could have like scarab swarms and things like that. It would be kind of cool.
Yeah, you just have nickel bullet. Wait, what? Wait, what? I didn't say that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Excuse me. Or like a Malifaux crossed over with ancient civilizations. Like, back in the day, Riss would open up and there'd be more... People have gone to Malifaux, and Malifaux people have gone to Earth back in the day, and that's why we have the ancient Egyptians with all their power and the ancient Aztecs with all their power, and just mush all of them together into a single faction.
Yeah.
Just trying to get a narrative hook on it. Okay, we got a few minutes, so we'll go to the last topic for this evening. Oh, man, I really want to take back everything I said the last one. I'm sorry. But this topic is your idea for the next Relic Hammer user. We had a bit of a discussion before we started recording that we've only seen 3 Relic Hammers so far in the game of Malifaux. We know that there's 12 or 13 of them, one for each tyrant. And, you know, there's a bit of mystique and a bit of lore around these things. They're extremely powerful objects, and they have sort of a price you have to pay to be able to use them, and a whole bunch of fun stuff. I would probably want to center a campaign if I were to come up with one around getting a hold of a Relic Hammer. But I'm surprised that they didn't come up with another Relic Hammer user for Wave 5. I mean, I'm sure they've got ideas for ones moving forward, but I wanted to ask each of you, if you were to design a Relic Hammer user, what kind of character would they be? What would be the cost associated with using the Relic Hammer? And what faction would they be in? Kyle?
Well, see, once upon a time, there was this fellow named Hank. And Hank was known to be a bit of a gambler. And wandering through the bayou one day, he stumbled across Zareda, and he played a game of chance, and he won, and he ended up getting a Relic Hammer. And now he is Hank the Tank, the Bayou Gremlin with a Relic Hammer.
Hank the Tank, you say?
Yes. I mean, he would basically be the stats of a Pyroblem with maybe some more hit points, and he has a relic hammer.
That's it. Like a cheap relic hammer for the gremlins to use and just throw at things. Can he lift a thing? Maybe his model's like unable
barely,
to
pick up. Barely. He's like dragging it behind him.
I also like the idea of Zoraida just having a relic hammer sitting in the corner of her house. Wait, you won? You won? How?
They play chess.
And he's like, buy you two card! Fine, you get a relic hammer. Here. Get out of my house.
Sounds likely to me.
That sounds right.
There, we have a story and everything. Go ahead, Weird. Make Hank the tank. Victoria!
I don't really have, like, a fun story like Kyle had, but I want, like, a really super serious guild guy. But, like, the cost of the hammer is it makes ridiculous noises every time you hit something with it.
Like a squeaky toy?
Yeah.
Like the Bane.
And it's just really irritating.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about the Bane before. There's a gun in the game, Borderlands 2, that was kind of powerful, but when you equipped it, you could barely move, and it made the shrieking sound of the dwarfs. The psycho dwarfs in the game every time I fired a bullet. Hey Kyle, what's the price Hank has to pay for wielding the relic hammer?
He's got to be a gremlin.
Oh, so he wasn't a gremlin before, and the relic hammer turned him into a gremlin.
I mean, you could go either way. Yeah, you could go with that, or
he's always been a gremlin.
Maybe he now realizes it. Before he didn't think he was.
Oh man, he'd be like, my life's a lie. I'm not in a real faction.
Exactly.
Gremlins are definitely a real faction.
I thought you were going to say something like he can't drink anymore, which would be just torture.
Oh yeah, he can't drink anymore. Now he can't get drunk and reckless. He lost it.
Oh no.
So now he's just reckless.
Ever seen a gremlin with depression?
Depressed and reckless?
Depressed and reckless. So super serious guild guy with the bonky hammer. Is it the same noise or is it different noises?
Different noises.
That's great. So you just hear a bike horn off in the distance and be like, no, it can't be.
It's impossible.
Then it's a clown laugh. Oh no, it's getting close.
Stop making me laugh and let me finish my water.
No, I will not. Daniel, what's your idea for a relic hammer user?
Alright, so probably an outcast. I was just thinking of like...
Because they need relic hammers.
Right? Yeah.
Because they totally don't have a relic hammer user already.
Two relic hammer users.
It's the fluff behind my idea that makes it
okay.
Makes it an outcast. So we're gonna have like a Casanova type character, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, he just goes around. His cost is that he's never gonna find the one, but in order to work the hammer, though, he's got to you know, look good for the ladies.
Like how look good for the ladies?
He's got to use his hammer to impress people, essentially.
Oh, okay. So he's got to be a show off.
Yeah.
That's
like Taylor, except without the
fun.
Doing it for fun, yeah. He's just compelled to do it, and he doesn't get a choice.
He's gotta keep smashing things. Oh no. Does he turn into Gallagher? I don't want to think about that. I'm gonna go. And this one actually isn't a joke. This is me being serious, not making a joke for once. I had this thought, and there's not a whole ton of reasoning behind it. I just sort of feel like Malifaux could use a maid character. So there'd be a maid character, and I figured she'd be Guild, because Guild needs help, I think. And
Guild does not need help for cheesecake. Wait, what? What?
Different it's not thing. Cheesecake. It's different legit, thing. Just legit made. And, oh, okay. And the cost of wielding the hammer is that
someone's gonna get. She has to be a waifu.
She can't talk.
She has to be a waifu.
She can't talk?
Yeah, it's like a vow of silence hammer.
Hmm.
That doesn't mean she can't just like flip off every single person that makes fun of her.
Hmm.
That'd be the opposite of the other guild hammer who would be built next to her and it's making screaming noises.
Ah, jeez. I think we're done. We're past time. We're done. I apologize, everyone, again. I think that's just going to be our thing now. We're going to apologize at the end of every episode.
Has science gone too far? Tune in next week.
Yes. Yes, it has.
We're sorry.
We've gone too far. So, thank you all for listening in. This is Friday Night Fodown for July 28th. Thank you, guys, for chiming in and putting up with me. Thank you, Victoria.
Always.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yep.
And thank you, Daniel. How was your first podcast, buddy?
I don't know, man. You tell me.
I think you did pretty good. We might invite you on some other time. You know, if you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like I've done this before, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you have a knack for it. It's a natural. And thank you, listeners, for listening. And I'm sorry. We're all sorry for putting you through that.
We're so sorry.
Bye.